Welcome to Formation. Today I sit down with the wife of our senior minister here at University Christian Church. Join us. Welcome to Formation. My name is Shannon Moore. This is our weekly podcast from University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And each week, I just sit down with people and talk about their faith formation and any spiritual practices they have. And today, I'm very excited to have a good friend of mine who also happens to be the First Lady.
Oh, gosh.
Of University Christian Church. I won't call you that anymore, but I had to make that.
Really?
Okay. I had to make that joke.
I know. I've heard it before. You're not the first person to.
I know, but do you like that title?
I think it's funny.
Okay. If you don't know what I'm talking about, she's the senior minister's wife. Or I should say the senior minister is married to you. How about that?
I like that.
Kelly
Peterman. Thank you. Thank you for asking me to be here.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to this.
I know. We don't spend enough time together.
I know. And we... See, and so we had to do this.
We had to do this. So this is going to start the momentum.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Kelly, you're from California, right, originally?
I am. Born and raised.
So was faith, going to church, that sort of thing, part of your childhood? Because, the rumor is people in California don't really go to church.
Right? Well, I was interested. That's an interesting way to start that question that you first had to, it's curious that I would be if I was from California is the, Yeah, no. I was born and raised in the Catholic Church.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You didn't know that?
I didn't.
Yes. So I was born and raised in the Catholic Church. My parents were married in the Catholic Church. I did baptism, First Communion, confirmation, went through the whole process, Tuesday night catechism. I was born and raised. Now, did we go to church every Sunday? No. Mm-hmm. It was more Christmas, Easter, kind of the big holy holidays that we would find ourselves in the pew.
But they made sure you got the instruction, the catechism classes.
Yes. They made sure that we got that, for sure.
How long did you stay in the Catholic Church? How did you end up leaving that church?
I would say the catalyst to leaving the Catholic Church was probably when I had children.
Okay.
So I went to the University of California, Berkeley, growing up, and occasionally would go to church, but really at a church there in the university community, but really just more as a kind of a space to be quiet and kind of get away from the stress of my education. But then, later on in life, when I had Abigail and Caroline, and it came time to think about their faith formation, that's where there was really a clear departure. When I had the choice to decide how I wanted to raise my children, the Catholic Church didn't align with who I am and how I wanted to raise my two young girls.
Okay. So where did you go?
We went to a church there. We, at the time when Abby and Caroline, we started getting them involved in church, we lived in a small town called Glen Ellen, and we went to a UCC, it's a United Church of Christ. Church of Christ, which I've been told is kind of a kissing cousin to the Disciples.
Absolutely.
And there was a woman minister there. Imagine such a thing.
Because you wouldn't have seen that before.
I would never have seen that before, and nor had I seen that before. I had never attended a church where a woman was in a leadership role. They were always part of the administrative staff.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine being the mother of young girls,
too, very important to me. And also her sermons just really spoke to me. It was a lot about social justice. And these were just words I had never heard from the pulpit in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So all of a sudden I was very interested in kind of what she had to say. And so we baptized Abigail and Caroline there and attended that church, while we lived in Glen Ellen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit. Now you're married to Russ Peterman.
Yes.
Who you knew a long time before you got married, right? You knew each other's children, right? Or young
well,
people?
In the eighth grade, you kind of are still a child, I guess, thinking back. Acted like children. Yes. Russ sat behind me in eighth grade Spanish class.
Did he pull your hair or anything?
No. I don't think so. I don't remember that.
Was he nice? Was he goody?
He was.
Tell us some dirt about Russ Peterman.
Oh, well, that might not be good. That might not be good content for this church podcast.
Oh, yeah, it may not be because he's my boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll skip that question.
We'll skip that. That'll be off-camera conversation.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. But you two found your way back to each other.
We did.
Later. And
we did.
Was he already a minister at that time?
Yes. So Russ and I, yes, we were great friends. Became friends in the eighth grade. It was just one of those things where you just kind of meshed with somebody. We're friends all through high school. We're friends all through college. Continued to sustain a friendship, you know, when he was married and I was married to, you know, to our first partners. And when I was going through my divorce, yes, I reached out to Russ and kind of rekindled that friendship. And then that friendship turned into something more. And Russ was a minister then at First Christian Church in Concord.
Okay. So, did you, as you moved toward marriage, did you have any reservations about being the quote unquote preacher's wife?
No. I never did. I never had any reservations about that. You know, it was a smaller church in California. I never did. Maybe I should have.
Well, I was going to say, how once you became the mm-hmm. preacher's wife, did you find that there were expectations placed upon you that you hadn't expected? Or what was that experience like?
Yeah, well, I always say, you know, the minister's wife is a role where there's a lot of expectations but no job description, right? So
nobody sits down and tells you what
right.
is expected.
And I think everyone may have their own kind of unwritten and expectations, and others don't. But I feel that. I feel expectations. Mm-hmm. So when we joined the church, I mean, I think it was a smaller church. I think the only thing that was like, Abby and Caroline were young, Jake and Ella were young. Getting four kids out the door on a Sunday morning to go to church is not an easy task. And arriving on time is not an easy task. And
when it's a small trouble, it's just me.
I know.
So I can't imagine.
And when it's a small church, you know, it kind of really elevates your tardiness.
You can't sneak in.
Mm-mm. You can't sneak in as the minister's wife. So that was some of the things, and that was the one struggle. But I never, you know, everyone I've just always encountered has been really just gracious and kind, mm-hmm. As far as my role as the minister's wife. So
did, this may sound like an odd question, but did marrying a minister affect your faith? How did marrying a minister, was there any difference in your own sort of private prayer practice or mm-hmm. spiritual disciplines or anything that changed once you?
None that were imposed by anybody else, but probably some, like, I think there was an insecurity for me, and again, not that anyone ever pointed this out, that, you know, that I had to be some type of biblical scholar. Mm. Because I was married to the minister's wife, or married to the minister. Mm-hmm. My faith did not change. Nothing really changed because of marrying Russ. But I think just a level of insecurity I think I felt within myself, okay. I've noticed.
All right.
But I'm getting over it.
Well, I'll help any way I can. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a very short break, and then we will be right back with our conversation with Kelly Peterman. The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God is doing in the world. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11, simple worship in the chapel at 9:30, or visit our 10:10 service in Walker Hall. We are a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on our faith journey. We practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Discover more about our programs and upcoming events at universitychristian.org and stay connected by following us on social media. We are back, continuing our conversation with Kelly Peterman. So Kelly, you were talking about being the minister's wife at a smaller mm-hmm. church in California. Mm-hmm. You've had four young children. Mm-hmm. Then, a little ways down the road, Russ yeah. gets called to University Christian Church.
Yeah, how about that?
A large church, mm-hmm. but not in California.
Not in California.
It's in Texas.
It's in Texas.
What, and kids are older at yes. this point, so what was that situation like for your family when God presented that opportunity to your family?
Wow, there's a lot to say there. There was a lot of emotions and discussion and things to consider about this move. It was a big move.
I assume you had a career going on.
I do have a career. My career, really the move here actually helped my career because I work for Charles Schwab and we built a huge campus in Westlake, and which is now our headquarters. Actually moved from what was previously our headquarters in San Francisco to our now new headquarters in Westlake. So
well, you brought them here with you.
Yeah, exactly.
But you didn't know that was going to happen.
No. So that was great. So the impact on my career was really at the bottom of the decision tree.
Okay.
My father was very ill at the time. And our kids were, you know, in times of transition. Jake and Ella were going to be, you know, still in high school.
And their mother is in
California. Their mother's in California. Yeah, right. Lived there in California. You know, they still had a couple years of high school left. Caroline and Abby were kind of at good transition points in their education because Abby was going to be starting high school. Caroline was going to be starting middle school. But their dad is also in California. It was a complex situation. You know, but I think above all of it, we all knew in our hearts that this was such an opportunity for us. And this was, you know, quite frankly, his dream. So
I've heard him say that.
Yeah.
That even in college.
Yes.
He sort of felt like this would be.
Yes.
A place he would yes. like to be.
So none of us, our families, my ex-husband, the girl's father, nobody wanted to, you know, deny him his dream.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's just at the core of it all. There was a lot of, a lot of emotion, a lot of sadness, a lot of being scared.
Certainly you had some reservations about coming to Texas, I would guess.
You know, I am always up for an adventure. I liked the idea. I always liked the idea of a fresh, you know, not a fresh start, because we didn't need a fresh start, but just like a new place, mm-hmm. new people, new culture, new everything. Mm-hmm. That does not scare me. And Texas didn't scare me. I know a much different political culture, a much different, obviously different weather. I will say of everything that we've had to adjust to, the weather has probably been the biggest challenge. It's not been anything else as far as this whole thing of coming from a liberal California to a conservative Texas.
Yeah.
That has not played a part at all.
You know,
and it was not even part of our consideration set.
I found as well, I moved from the East Coast to go to seminary here, and mm-hmm. Texas really was my saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
It changed my life for the better in so many ways. And I just absolutely fell in love with Fort Worth the minute I got here. So I'm glad that it's been a good place for you too.
I don't like labels. I don't like, you know, California can be just as conservative or liberal. It's you find your people. You find the place that you feel comfortable. And I don't label California as liberal. I don't label I don't label Texas as conservative. It just, we're people.
We're people. I love
that.
And
we have our beliefs. And if you want to put a label on it, you can do that.
Can you talk about, you moved, you know, halfway across the country. You've been at a small church. Now you're at a big church.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was probably, so it'd be interesting, you know, your question earlier where you asked me if when you married Russ, did you have any reservations about being the minister's wife? I wonder sometimes if I would have if he was serving this church versus the smaller
time.
Church. So, yes, I will tell you that it is really odd walking into a room. You know, I think about when we came for his invocation. For that ceremony.
Oh, the installation?
Or the installation,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Installation.
Uh-huh.
And you walk into a room and everybody knows who you are and you have no idea who anybody is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a really weird feeling. And I know I felt that and I know our children felt that. But it is a very odd feeling for everyone to know who you are and you have no idea who anybody is. So
I feel nervous on your behalf just
right?
thinking about that. Yeah.
And even when sometimes when I come to church, even today, I think people may be surprised to know that I am a private person. And when I come to church, you know, I do, whether I need to or not, I do feel like I have a role. And sometimes I don't want to. I just want to come and mm-hmm. be congregation member number 265 and, you know, just, mm-hmm. you know, not, maybe not even have to talk to anybody, just come in and sit and be. I remember that in the Catholic Church sometimes with the music and kind of the rituals, I liked just being in that space and just kind of being.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. It's different now. I can't do that here.
Right. Do you have other ways that meet that need for you, sort of private meditation time, or do you?
I find that space in worship. I do find myself, you know, just trying to breathe and be present and not think about anything else. So I think that's a way I try to meet that need.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, now your kids are almost all grown.
Yes.
You only have one
One left. In the house.
At home.
Yes.
What's this stage of life looking like? How's it feeling?
Mixed emotions, right? With four kids and they're all doing amazing and they're doing their things and they're finding their paths in life. But with four kids, they could go off in four different directions. You know, and I know that Russ is here for the long haul. You know, Texas will be our home
mm-hmm.
For the long haul. So we will be here, but where they will end up is still a question as far as, you know, where they settle. So imagine if they're like in northeast, southwest, you know, and we're trying to see them. And so that's a little bit scary because we miss them.
Yeah.
And it's
hard.
The good thing,
though, is that we're sort of in the middle.
We are in the middle.
You know, they can all come to you.
Yes, we are in the middle. That has been very good for business travel, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the middle, and we have an exceptional airport that has thousands of flights every day. But it is getting to be a different stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing was when Caroline got her driver's license, and all of a sudden, for the first time in 20 years, I wasn't having to taxi children around.
That's huge.
Yeah. 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 Ooh. So it's good. It's good.
Well, I'm so glad that God called your family here. You are a blessing to me, mm-hmm. and I know to so many others, and your whole family is, and it just seems like a match made in heaven. So
thank you.
I'm so glad that you're here. And already our time is up.
Is it really?
It is.
That was
you'll
so
have
easy.
To come, I know. You'll have to come back and do it again sometime.
I'd be happy to.
We've got lots to talk about. So
sounds good.
Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to this podcast. If you would like to chat with me about your faith and your life, I would love to talk to you. Send me an email, formation@ucccftw.com. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time. One quick thing before we go. There was something Kelly wanted to talk about that didn't come up, and so we're going to give you a little extra bonus content here. So, Kelly, what's it like to watch your husband preach?
You know, it's nerve-wracking. I was thinking about this, and I thought, what other couple, a man, husband and wife, do they get to sit and watch their spouse do their job? You know, maybe if you're an athlete and you go and you watch, you know, your spouse compete, or I was thinking a politician. Mm-hmm. That'd be another thing where the spouse is sitting back, you know, watching the their husband or wife be up there in the podium. So it's a very interesting dynamic, and it's hard. It's hard some days, because sometimes I'm sitting there experiencing worship as his wife, and then sometimes I'm sitting there experiencing worship as a member of the congregation and a you know, wanting to learn and to grow. So there are critiques sometimes when he comes home from church.
I just was going to ask that? if that's part of the ritual of post-church mm-hmm. at the Peterman home.
At the Peterman home? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's immediate. Most of the times, as I'm sure comes as no surprise, 90% of the time it's, that was really good. You know, that was a great job.
Is the critique sometimes as wife and sometimes as member?
Sometimes it's as a marketing and communications professional.
Oh, okay.
That you really could have said it this way, probably would have struck a little bit stronger. Sometimes it is as a wife, because he will tell a story or that I didn't know that he was going to tell. And then sometimes it's a lot of the time, and again, it's not often, but a lot of the time it is really more like, hey, if you would have just twisted it this way. And that really just more comes as my profession. But it is, we just had Youth Sunday, you know, the kids talked about getting uncomfortable. And I think a lot of what Russ's job is up there is to make us uncomfortable. But there are some days where I'm just like, oh, can't we just have the God loves you and here are the five steps for your life and go? Can we go to brunch?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. But that's not his role. And so sometimes I'm like, you know, if he is going to try to make a more controversial point, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah. Okay. So then you're nervous on his behalf.
I get nervous on his behalf.
I get that.
So.
Thanks. Okay.